Our first guest tonight is a legend, a great, a god, a gentleman, a scholar, a prince, a chameleon, a comedian, a Corinthian, a caricature. Perhaps the most influential figure on British social scene since Wilde, Oscar or Marty. Please welcome the loose cannon that is Malcolm McLaren. Well, last we meet, Malcolm McLaren, what do you hear from Bill Grundy? Much?
No, not much at
all. Much from the Sex Pistols at all these days?
I think one's scuba diving, the other's male bonding.
Did they let you down, in that sense? Are you let down by the way things turned out for the fellas?
Well, someone's up there in heaven. That's a sad story.
Yeah.
And the other one's just making tea.
Who's making tea?
The drummer.
AD? Yeah. Oh, Paul Cook, the drama. Well, we will come on to Sex Pistols. You were a student, which doesn't surprise anyone. I don't know why, I don't mean that in a minute, you were an art student.
We were all students in the 60s.
Everybody, right?
Yeah.
My dad was actually unloading ships at Tilbury, but go over that. and you burned books. Were you a book burner? Or is this, again, part of the McLaren legend? Did you actually go in for all that?
I attempted to burn the library down, and I succeeded.
Why did you burn? How did the library go?
I was frustrated.
Yeah.
And at the time, I think I had an uncontrollable anger.
Yeah.
And I decided to go out with a big bang.
Yeah.
And
see, did you really, Malcolm, did you really burn a library down, or is this, you know, I mean, I love your stories and I've adored your career and your McLarenism all this time, but did you really burn a library down one time?
Well, they still send me letters thinking I should repay them.
10,000 books overdue.
Something like that.
Well, what about your Father Christmas thing at Selfridges? You did that. Tell people about your Father Christmas at Selfridges thing.
One day decided that I thought that it would be a good idea to give away the toys. And the
Whose
best
toys?
Way to do that. Well, the toys in Selfridge's store, I was always fed up. My grandmother would often take me there, and I would, apparently if you pay sixpence and go through some ridiculous cavernous exercise on your hands and knees, at the end you met this giant man in red with a long white beard.
It's nice.
I know, but you hope to get the presents. All I got was these ridiculous chewing gums and a one of those. And when I grew up, I realised it wasn't on. And the idea was you're supposed to get more than that.
That's what Oprah's there for.
So we and a bunch of friends dressed up like Father Christmas.
Mm.
And rushed into Selfridges, so there was more than one. There was 10 Father Christmases.
Mm.
And we all immediately gave out toys to the screams and horror, obviously, of the assistants that were there. And we only had maybe 5 or 10 minutes before the bells rang and the alarms.
And the kids were often down Oxford Street by then, yeah?
Well, they were all crying in such a euphoric manner because some of them just couldn't handle the amount of worldly goods that we'd laid at their feet.
And you just said, off you go with that stuff, yeah?
I certainly did that, but of course the corner of my beady eye was on the door where I thought the police may arrive. So I threw my new disguise on the floor.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And
I'm looking for a guy, white beard, red
and,
costume.
And ran into the lift and saw this old lady that looked in trouble because she had too many bags. So I helped her, and as I got to the ground floor of Selfridges, as the lift doors opened, there were these policemen, you know, confronting me, and it was fantastic because I just walked right through them with this old lady.
I figured you were her, yeah.
And so I was thrilled to get out anyway without being caught.
Hollywood. You went to Hollywood in the 80s. Who was you working for?
Well, I eventually ended up working for Steven Spielberg, if that's who you mean.
Yeah, you bet.
And I got that job because his wife used to do calisthenics to Madame Butterfly.
Yeah, which
was
know.
A song I made, and he was persuaded, I think, to get me into his studio because he wanted very much to be involved in musicals.
I know the project that you were interested in putting to America, and I think it's a fantastic thing.
Yeah.
Tell them, what was your big idea you wanted to sell to them?
disappointed. Why don't we just think of something about the Wild West, to make a musical about the Wild West? And I sat and thought about it for a few days and wandered the streets of Hollywood, this time reading books.
Yeah.
I came back to see Stephen, who was at a dinner, and there he sat with Martin Scorsese, Bob Dylan, Willem Dafoe, and his wife. The problem was I didn't have a chair. I didn't quite understand. So I had to pretend as if I was sitting. And I sat between, pretending that is, Martin Scorsese and Steven Spielberg.
How do you sit like it? You mean you literally were kind
of... No, you have to sit like this.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I sat like that, and I said, well... He said, okay, shoot, Malcolm, it's your dime.
Yeah.
So, okay. Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
In 1888, whilst on a lecture tour of the United States, discovers rock and roll. Scorsese turned around and said, that's great. That's a great idea, Malcolm. And furthermore, I want you to come to my editing rooms and watch me edit Last Temptation of Christ and blah, 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 which is what I think he was about to embark upon. And Stephen immediately said, I'll see you in my office in the morning.
Yeah.
And I signed a deal there and then, and I went off to work at Steven Spielberg's studio to develop this idea of Oscar Wilde discovering rock and roll. 3 months went past, and I worked with some of the very illustrious writers in Hollywood at that time, and no end of money was spent on that. But after 6 months, one of the executives in the company pulled me into their office to say, we have a problem, Malcolm. I said, what's that? And they said, well, you know, America, they're never going to buy the idea of Oscar Wilde discovering rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I said, why? He said, because he's a homosexual.
Huh.
We can't have homosexuals discovering rock and roll in America. It's not going to work.
Tell Little Richard that, yeah.
Could you please think about changing his name to Billy Wilde?
Bill Wilde?
So,
no,
I thought,
no.
Who is Billy Wilde?
Not Bill. You sure they just didn't call you back and that's how you're wrapping the thing up? They didn't suggest Bill Wilde, did they?
Well, that was it. I've just told you. That was the end of the story. At that point, I really was, you know, I didn't know how to write a story about Billy Wilde. I didn't know who the hell he was.
If I give you 6 examples of modern music makers, would you rechristen them? Would you have a go at saying that's a dull, if you feel it is a dull name, someone like The Biggest, take that at the moment. Is that enough for you? Could you have lived with a band simply called Take That?
It's a bit simplistic, but I suppose that's what they are. I I guess if I had to think about it, they're young, good-looking kind of guys. I'd sort of think about America, and I'd probably say PCGAY or something, meaning politically correct gay, or personally committed GAY.
Right, which is no inference on the group, it's just something you feel will be stimulating.
Yes, I think it's sort of one up on the Village People.
Yeah, okay, so there's PCGAY. How about Prince, or he that was formerly known as Prince?
I think, because he's very fey on one level, and he's very funky, I would call him Too Utterly.
Oscar Wilde again. Yeah. There's Prince. Last one. Last one. Yeah. Malcolm McLaren.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as
One Big F.